Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, Lord. You are here. You're walking with us. You're in our hearts. Wow. The God who created this universe is right here with us. May your name be honored and blessed today. And Father, we just ask that our ears be open, that we hear your word, and that we follow after what you ask us to do. Lord, we don't have the strength in ourselves to do it. It takes a miracle. So reprogram our minds, as Pastor Mike says. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that, again, it's in this bulletin, and I just love it. And as we're preparing for a time of worship, and the worship team can start working its way up, just that who we are in Christ. I think the biggest venue that the devil has used against us is keeping us confused. Do we serve Jesus? Do we serve Moses? Are we still under the law? Are we released from the law, from grace? You know, there's a lot of things. The Bible's pretty clear about it. But who are we? And just to read from our bulletin, we are a group of people who love Jesus and other people. We meet together to strengthen our friendships, welcome others into our lives, and give encouragement, receive support, celebrate stories of redemption, experience freedom, recover truth, or discover truth, and impact others with hope. Join us on this journey. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the ladies who come to share the song of worship with our congregation. And may your spirit just engulf us, surround us, encourage us in Jesus' name.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh,
one defense, my My God, my Savior.
Just thank God that our ladies are willing to come up here, lead us. And I had the pleasure of listening to Glenn, so you won't believe this, but I believe the Holy Spirit is in every one of us and talking and joining us together in more ways than we really understand. I wanted to just read from 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For the training of the body has limited benefits, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So we get to experience God here on earth, in a earth that doesn't give us a lot of promise. Kind of is exhausted and wearing out and falling apart all around us, but God gives us hope. And so that hope is here now and today. I just love that part. All right, with that, let's have Pastor Glenn come up and share the word, because we're not going to believe it from those songs that were sung to his sermon. I believe it already.
I was sitting there with Freddie when the worship team was chosen to pick singing the songs, and I said, "You're not going to believe this." He says, "Yeah, I would." I shouldn't be surprised. You see how it's evident the song that they chose about God's grace and his mercy? And how he's with us in the times of trials and troubles. And there's no way they could have known. The only one that had known before I got here was my wife. And so, there's no way that they would have known. But the Holy Spirit knew. And I have to give credit where credit is due. This is the first time I've ever produced one of these. Without my wife and Matt, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I've used it in training before, but I've never created one. So we'll see how it goes. And so without help, it would come through. Trials and tribulations. What is our response? Does it matter? Yeah, it does. It does. What is your initial response when it comes? Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to tell you I've never experienced those. Anger. I remember a time when I was suffering from a certain physical malady, and when I lived here before, and there were times going to the church that Sherry had to pull off the side of the road because I was ill. And there were moments I was angry with God. I said, "God, I know you have the power just to make this all go away. Why, you know?" But then I realized I can't be angry with God because I still need him. And Sherry knew I was going to be healed from this long before I did, but you have to ask her about that. That's a different story. And we try to find something or someone to blame. Or fear. Natural human responses. Don't get me wrong. They're all natural human being responses to when something starts going sideways. And why? Why me? Why this? Why did you allow this, God? Make no mistake. Nothing in the universe, from what you decided to wear today, from all the stuff that's passed in history, that God does not allow. That's the fact. And the why, I knew I was in trouble. This isn't in my notes. I'll tell you a story. I was home. I was working swing shift at the time, and my daughter was home, and she was not feeling well and didn't go to school. And I was waiting for our babysitter to get there so I could go to work. So she came out after she was sleeping, and she said, "Dad, does God love me?" I said, "Well, yes, he loves you very much. He loves you more than anything." Oh. Little time passes by, and he comes out and says, "Well, Dad, does God want me to be sick?" I don't like where this question's going. I don't. I said, "Well, I don't think he wants you to be sick, sweetheart." Okay, all right. And the next question was, if God loves me, and he doesn't want me to be sick, why am I sick? You think that's an easy answer to give to a child? That's a human response is, why is this being allowed? God's purposes may not be immediately revealed. His purposes in allowing it is as numerous as his grace. How does God want us to respond? Give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say to be thankful for all things. It says be thankful in the midst of all things. And sometimes being thankful and challenged in a challenging situation is not the natural thing to do. It isn't. What comes to mind, the most horrific one, was there's a book called Man's Search for Meaning, written by Viktor Frankl, an Austrian psychiatrist and doctor, a survivor of the Holocaust. He went to this concentration camps in Germany. In one of the incidences in the book, he describes a rabbi on his knees every day thanking God. And he says, what in the world can you be thanking God for? You know where we're at? We're probably not going to survive this. He says, I'm thanking God I'm not them. So, that really struck me as being thankful in all things. How does God want us to respond? Rejoice. Amen. Now, this verse in Habakkuk, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now, that's probably not a magnet on your refrigerator. I confess it's not on mine either. But that's one of the deal. He wants us to rejoice. In the New Testament, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I've been told that rejoice is a choice. Amen. Rejoice is a choice. You make that decision. And it's not easy. I'm not up here saying it's all easy. Don't get me wrong. Rejoicing in the midst of people that you're going through something or your loved one is going through a very trying time. And it's not easy. Never said it was easy. But rejoice really is a choice. And one of the things that happen when you rejoice is that God inhabits the praises of his people. He's obligated to show up. And his grace is not something that he does per se. It's part of his DNA, if you will. It's just who he is. Doesn't matter if you're rich, poor. Doesn't matter what your status you think in life is. And it's not a matter of trials and tribulations are going to come. It's a matter of when. No one's exempt. No one. And so, but rejoice is one of the ways that God wants us to respond. Cry out to God. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It says if you call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you will honor me. Don't run away from God. Cry out to him. He knows your pain. And I'm reminded of a chorus about Jesus come to the waters. And he feels every teardrop when in darkness you cry. You cry out to God. Obviously, this list is not going to be exhaustive. I don't pretend it to be. Everyday things to do. Fill your life with God's word and God's people. Read his promises. I confess the one here in Isaiah is probably, if not the most favorite. Do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Read his promises. This isn't the only one. I'm sure you have your favorite promise. The other one's in Jeremiah where it says, I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you. That's what he thinks about you. Hey? You read God's promises and surround yourself with God's people. Those encouragement, praying for you. Don't be filled with worry. Overflow with worship. All right? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Recently, Sherry and I went through a kind of anxiety period over about some housing situation, and Sherry reminded me that I have to have patience, which I don't have hardly any at all, and I want it right now. And she said, can't get out, are we getting out in front of God? Are we not being patient? Are we not waiting for his answer? Are we not, you know, God's still on the throne. He hasn't abdicated. He's still in control. And so we just did what we knew we were supposed to do, and God answered. And so overflow with worry. And it's not easy sometimes. I mean, things happen that you think, man, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? You're going to trust God. That's what you're going to do. Or should. Huh? That's not easy either sometimes. Don't get me wrong. Trust and obey. Isn't that what the song says? I'm missing some slide. Oh, well. Hold on. It's okay. Hold, please. I told you this is my first time doing it. When we talk about God's grace being sufficient, I give you the theological definition, and we'll get to what the Bible says about it. Divine grace is a theological term present in many religions, which is true. Oh, thank you. Woohoo! Okay, good. All right. Divine grace is a theological term present in many religions. It has been defined as the divine influence, which operates in humans to regenerate and sanctify, to inspire virtuous impulses, and to impart strength to endure trial and resist temptation, and as an individual virtue over excellence of divine origin. That's what a theologian will tell you. Huh? Now, if I could... What's God's grace say about it? It is an action and is the essence of God's very nature. He always shows us favor, even when we betray him or turn our backs on him. That's a fact. Okay? Throughout the Bible, we see that God of the universe consistently finding ways to reconcile with a hard-hearted, fearful, hurting humanity. He loves us, and because of that, he gives us the best he has, including himself. And somebody says, well, there's nothing God can't do. There are some things he can't do. One of the things he cannot do, he cannot give you something that's not best for you. He can't. That's not his nature. So God's grace is encompassing every aspect of humanity. Salvation, your healing, whatever that is. It's part of who he is. Oh, I've already, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not a matter of, I got out of, it is a matter of when. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. In other words, why are you surprised? Jesus said your trials and tribulations were going to come. Don't be surprised. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but as praise God that you bear that name. So then those who suffer according to God's will should not commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen sooner or later. We don't want it to happen, but it does. You remember the book of Job? That's a difficult book. Okay, let's be honest. When God turns to Satan and says, "Have you considered my servant?" Nobody wants to hear their name at the end of that sentence. Not really. And it's not an easy answer when the first thing an unbeliever challenges you about your relationship with God. If God is so good and so benevolent, why does he allow the suffering in the world? Let's face it, that's not an easy answer. I give you my personal answer at the end of this. But that's not an easy answer. But there are purposes that God has. Oh, I already did that. Okay, that's good. That's okay. Now, if you remember, I'm sure you're Paul. Paul asked three times that whatever physical affliction, that God would take it away. And God said no. Three times. Whatever that was, we really don't know what it was. There have been a lot of theories, but nobody really knows what it was. But God's answer was, "My grace will be sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." My grace is sufficient. That's what God's answer was. It'll be okay. But if you... Thank you. Okay. In order to keep me from becoming conceited... Because remember Paul's background. Highly educated. He was a Roman citizen. Schooled in the very best schools at the time. "I was given a thorn in my flesh," whatever, a messenger of Satan, "to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And everybody in here has their different backgrounds and come from different experience. And suffering mostly from my life has been a physical thing, the pain. And I was thinking about my mom. My mother had, I can't imagine what she went through, and I never asked her about this. Never thought about it. She had to tell a 7-year-old child that she was being taken away so she could die. I can't imagine what my mom was going through at that time. I don't know. God was testing her faith, I don't know. But it must have been could not have been easy for a mother to tell the child. And so, but yet,
here
I am. And the why, I have no idea. I'm nothing special. But, be that as it may, God granted the prayer. But anyway. So my God's grace is sufficient.
Apparently God thinks you're special.
What's that? I know, and I don't know why. I'm a why kind of. I was discussing this with Freddie. I'm a why kind of. I was a detective. I want to know why. I want to know why. I was solving mysteries. And this is one I'll probably never solve.
Because he said so.
Okay. Because Jesus said so. There is a song about it. Because Jesus said so. And so when we face trials and tribulations, now I'm going to subject you to me singing a couple of verses a cappella of a song that I just dearly love. And I'm sorry about that. But my personal answer, so when somebody asks me, why does God allow you to suffer? My answer is this. God's purposes for my life is more important than my comfort. That's my answer. The song that I dearly love to sing, it's on, you'll find it on 689 in your hymnal. I think if I can get through it, and then I'll be okay. Let's see. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow will not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy trials to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. That's his promise. That's what I got. That's it. That's all I got.